Hey church, good morning. Happy Easter.
Yes.
We're so glad you decided to tune into our live stream this morning.
That's right. Guys, you are making a huge difference in our community and we are so incredibly grateful.
Yeah.
This week we gave food to 147 kiddos. The woman let us know that without Christ Church that they would not be able to do this.
Yeah.
So thank you for making huge difference in the lives of these kids.
Yeah.
There's two ways to give. The first one is our Christchurch Ohio app, and then the second is our Christchurch Ohio website.
Yeah, and that's one of the awesome things that has happened in this quarantine is that we've been able to see your overwhelming generosity and just support for our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to continue that. We want to give you more opportunities. So this week,
yes.
Today, Easter Sunday, we are kicking off Love Week quarantine style. And tell us more about that.
So what it is we want to spread the love and the joy of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We're going to give you guys a ton of different ideas to be creative, to do that, to serve your communities, to serve your spouse, your kiddos.
Yeah.
Be on lookout for an email with all the details in that. You can also check out our website and the app.
It's going to be a great event, church. I hope you join us this week.
Yes.
Have a great Easter with your families. We will see you all next week right here on Livestream.
That's right.
Happy Easter, church. Thank you so much for tuning in. I know that this is a very unusual Easter, but no matter what, this is still an amazing day to celebrate, and I believe that God wants to do some amazing things in our life today, and I'm so glad to be with you, even if it is through a screen. But would you bow your heads and pray with me as we get into the message today? Father, thank you so much that 2,000 years ago, you rose from the dead. Thank you for the hope that it brings us today. Thank you for how that can continue to shape our lives and shape our world. And Father, how that means that there is hope, there is forgiveness, there is love, there is new direction and strength for every one of us. And I pray we could experience that personally today. And I ask this all in Jesus' good name. Amen. Well, I want you to think about the first job that you had in high school or when you were growing up. The job that I had mostly through high school was I worked at a movie theater, Strongsville Cinema. And I loved working there because I got two great benefits. One, I could see any movie for free. And the second thing is I could eat as much popcorn as I could stomach. And so I did a lot of both those. Ate a lot of popcorn and watched a lot of movies. And I've always kind of been a movie guy. I love a great story. I love how a story can just kind of totally capture your attention, and it can move you, it can inspire you, it can frustrate you, and I've just always loved that experience of watching a great story unfold on the screen. And when we think about our lives, all of our lives are a story that's unfolding right now. Your life is a story. If I were to ask you what's your story, there would be certain important characters in it. There would be high moments. There would be low moments. There would be moments of conflict. There would be great problems that you had to overcome and maybe great problems that you're facing right now. And all of our lives are a story. And if we were to explain that story in detail, it would explain who we are. And how we understand the story and how we relate it to ourselves also continues to shape us. Some people, the story of their life is that they're always the victim. They're always the one being wrong. It's never their fault. Everything's always outside of their control. And because that's how they understand their story, they're always in a constant state of frustration. And so how we understand it for ourselves shapes us tremendously. And every story right now has a new chapter to it. It has a significant plot twist, and that's the plot twist of COVID-19. This time in history, all of us, this is going to be a chapter, a scene in every one of our stories. When this happened in 2020, life shut down, all these crazy events. For some of us, this has changed our job status. It's changed dynamics in our family in a tremendous way, and it's shaping our story to this day. But my hope and what I want to talk to you today about is that I hope the story of 2020 for you and me would be influenced and marked more by Jesus than this COVID-19. more by what we celebrate today, the resurrection. Because I believe as significant and as real as COVID-19 is, the resurrection is infinitely greater than that, and it can impact your story and my story in a far greater way, even than this global pandemic. And I want to show you that today by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the great apostle Paul wrote this, and it wasn't long. It was just several years after Jesus died and rose again. He wrote this to an ancient church, and it says this: "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead." And the apostle Paul who wrote this, he was saying this not just as a religious idea, not as a legendary myth, not as sort of a way to represent a powerful spiritual truth of resurrection, rising from the dead. But he was saying, listen, Jesus literally rose from the dead. And that act has changed everything for everyone. Because the Apostle Paul, before he became a follower of Jesus Christ, he was adamantly against Jesus and the church. And he thought what many people thought. He thought it was all made up. He thought it was a bunch of people that were losing their minds. And he thought it was bad for society. And he was totally against it until something unbelievable happened. He actually met the resurrected Christ, and it changed his life forever. Because a resurrected Christ can change our story like no one else. And so he says, look, Christ rose from the dead. I'm not just talking to you about this in a figurative or spiritual way, but he rose from the dead. I talked with him. And he said, in that act, it was the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And fallen asleep here means dead. And first fruits here is this idea that when Christ rose from the dead, it was God showing us how his story in human history ends. That at the end of the day, God wants to renew and fix everything that's broken in the world. And just like death could not hold Jesus down, but Jesus overcame it, God is one day going to overcome in all of our lives all the powers of sin and death and evil. And he says, for as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And basically, this verse right here is a summary of the whole story of Scripture. That in Adam, who is the first story that we read about in the book of Genesis, we see God create this beautiful world, and then it all get messed up. But in Christ, everything that gets messed up gets forgiven, gets healed, gets brought back to life, and eventually that work will be fully accomplished. And so right here is a summary of the whole story of Scripture. And this story of Scripture, from Adam to Christ, I want to say, is also the story of our lives today. You may be thinking, what does all of this have to do with me? And I want to challenge you and say, all of this has everything to do with you and me. This might seem like crazy theological, historical ideas, but I want you to know today, I believe these ideas are essential and absolutely relevant to you and me today. So I want to share this story because I hope that this story will change your story. Because Jesus Christ changes every story. What Paul says in this passage, it means that every story has been changed and has the potential to be changed. And every changed story is always a better story. Today, I'm going to challenge you at the end of this message, if you've never received Jesus, if you've never opened your life to him, I'm going to challenge you to invite him into your story, to make him the central part of your story, because every story he's a part of becomes radically better. And I'm going to share that with you later. But now let me talk to you about this story of Scripture and how it's also the story of our lives. And I'm going to break it up into four acts, but here's the first one. Act one is creation. Paul says that in Adam, all men died. And he was referencing the story of creation. And that's where everything begins. That God created the world. And if you read the book of Genesis, it shows us that God created it, and he created it good. It was a beautiful place. So many of the things that we know today, like disease and the wounds that we give each other relationally and the mistakes that we make and the lost potential, none of that was part of the beginning of the story. But it was this beautiful creation filled with potential, all kinds of good things. And what that means for us is that God has made each of us, you, into a unique masterpiece. You are a unique masterpiece created by God. He's given you potential. He's given you gifts. He wants your life to be something that blesses the world, that adds value to the world. And he wants you to experience the joy and delight of his presence. And he's given us all the potential for that. You may not feel like you're something special. You may not think you're something special. No one maybe has ever said that to you or recognized that or seen any potential in you. But here's what I know about your story. God created something good and beautiful in you, and your life has potential for something good and something beautiful. I read recently about when Leonardo da Vinci painted the Mona Lisa, that he worked on her smile for 16 years, trying to just get it absolutely perfect. And art historians, when they talk about just the incredible masterpiece that it is, they talk about how when you look at it from different angles and different ways, sometimes it looks like a slight frown and sometimes a smile, and just the genius of how he painted that makes our experience of it so unique. And I want you to know today that God put so much more time and effort into creating you. He's created all of us with this incredible potential. But here's act two of the story. And here's what we might be more familiar with. And it's called the fall. And what act two means is that when God created Adam and God created everything so good, and Adam had this beautiful relationship with God and this beautiful relationship with his wife and this beautiful relationship with creation, you thought, man, this is awesome. But then Adam turned his back on God. That's act two. It's called the fall. And Adam's relationship with God was damaged. And Adam's relationship with his wife was damaged. And Adam's relationship with creation was damaged. And that's why Paul says, through one man, all have died. Because here's what I know about your story. And here's what I know about my story. We're not that different from Adam. We've all turned our back on God at some point. We've all hurt people that we love, like Adam hurt and failed his wife. We've all struggled in this world like Adam would struggle in this new world, that life would be tough. There would be ups and downs. There would be things like what we're going through right now, the coronavirus, and he would have to figure out how to keep moving forward when it's tough. It's the fall. And we cannot escape the gravity of failure, hurt, and disappointment in life. Yes, God gives us this potential, but unfortunately, part of our story is how we ruin it. Part of our story is how God gives us these opportunity and these gifts, and we don't always respond to them well. Part of our story is sometimes how God has given other people potential and gifts, but they hurt and wound others. And maybe we've been hurt and wounded significantly by others. And it's the fall. And that's act three. And for many lives, they never get past act two here. There's creation, there's potential, there's opportunity, and there's fall. And for many of us, we stay right in act two. We say, well, that's just the way it is. It can't be better than this. These things that have happened, I can't be healed from. These struggles that I have, they're just going to be with me forever. I'm never going to become something more, something better. And if we're not careful, we will stay in act two in our story when there's two more acts to God's story. And here's act three. You can't miss it. It's the rescue. It's the scene where it looks like Everything is, the world is collapsing, but then the hero shows up and the story continues. And the Apostle Paul says, Jesus has come and everything that has died in Adam, Christ is making alive. See, the hero of the story is Jesus Christ. And everything that we've messed up in our life, every failure before God, every time we've been like Adam and we've turned against God, Christ has come to rescue us from those failures, from those mistakes, and from the hurt that we've given and the hurt that we've received. And he's come to make us new. And I love how he does it. Everything that's broken, he heals through forgiveness and unconditional love. And today, some of us today are going to move into Act 3. Today, you're going to experience for the first time the awareness that you have a God who came seeking after you and came to forgive you. And he went to the cross and he died on it so that all your mistakes and my mistakes would not rest on you, but they would rest on him. And now for the rest of our lives, we don't have to live in shame and hiding from God, but we can live in boldness, knowing that God completely forgives and loves us. Act 3 is a beautiful part of this story. And when it becomes a part of your story, it changes everything, because forgiveness and unconditional love change our story. And we must forgive others also. And we must have a deep personal experience of our own forgiveness for Act 3 to become real. Maybe part of your story is just unfair and ugly wounding from others. But part of your story going forward then has to be learning with God's help through Christ to forgive them. Part of our story is moving past our deepest moments of shame and failure by realizing Christ came to rescue us from all of that. And so we can leave it behind in Act 2, because Act 3 has come. And here's the last act, Act 4, new creation. And what Paul says is that in Christ, he's the first fruits of the new creation. That when Christ rose from the dead, it was the very beginning of God redeeming every part of creation and every part of our world and every part of our life. And Jesus wants to rescue what is broken in your story, and he wants to begin to write a better story through you and me. See, what Act 3 means is that we're forgiven, that there's a new relationship with God. But what Act 4 means is that new relationship with God, we bring it into our everyday life and we begin to write better stories in our family, in our workplaces, in our own relationship with ourselves, because we're experiencing the incredible reality of what Jesus has done for us when he died and he rose again. If you invite Jesus into your story, he will automatically and immediately begin writing a new and better story. One of my big challenges for you today is that this week, April 12th through April 18th, we as a church, as the people of God, as people who have experienced the love and grace of Christ, we want to write a better story during COVID-19 in our communities. And so we're launching a Love Week. And we're going to give you a lot of different opportunities and a lot of ways to just love our community, to serve our first responders, to serve people who are hungry and in need of food, to just serve our own church family by just checking in on them and staying connected and doing what we can do, because we can write a better story during this time with Christ's help, a better story other than worry and fear and loss. We can write a story of faith, hope, and love with Christ's help. And I want you to do that. So make sure to keep your eye out for that. Now, the last thing that I want to share with you is Joseph Campbell is a great author, and he writes all about the greatest stories in the world. And he spent his whole academic career studying them, all the great mythology, all the stories, and all the religious texts. And he broke them down into saying that each of these stories has 12 powerful elements in all of the hero's journey. And he calls it the hero's journey. And the first element he talks about is that every great hero, every great story begins where the person is seen in their ordinary setting. Harry Potter's in his uncle and aunt's house. It's normal life, and he's being mistreated. The Lord of the Rings are just in the Shire, hanging out there, all the hobbits just kind of going around life, and it's just the ordinary world. And then they get some call to adventure. Something happens, a big change. Harry Potter gets invited to Hogwarts. And then they kind of second guess, am I really capable of this? And he lists all 12, and I'm not going to go through all 12 of them, but you can Google it online if you want to read more about it. But he has all these different elements and all these different parts of the story that every great character has to go through for it to truly be a great story. And what he found in studying this for all these years is he found that not only is this true in stories, it's true in our personal lives. That these stages are things that each individual has to walk through to live a great life. And what I loved about reading that is I couldn't help but realize something so important. That the real hero of every one of our stories is not meant to be ourselves, but it's meant to be Jesus Christ. And what we celebrate on Easter, we celebrate that Christ has won, that the story has already been completed, and we get to live in the blessings of what he's accomplished for us, that he is the hero of your life. You don't have to be your own hero. You don't have to figure out what you need to figure out during this pandemic. You have one who has come and will guide you and help you. And every story that Christ begins to write through us becomes an infinitely better story. So here's my two challenges for you today. Number one, if you have never invited Christ to be part of your story, maybe you're like so many of us, you're trying to be the hero of your own story. You're trying to write your own script. You're trying to overcome all the problems before you. You're trying to just figure it all out on your own. I want you right now to just stop. And I want you to invite the real hero into your life, Jesus Christ. I want you to say, hey, would you come into my life? Would you change me? Would you transform me? Would you forgive me? Would you fill me with your love? I believe that you died and rose again for me, and I want to live my life following you. You're the real hero. And if you followed Christ, if you know him, if you are celebrating his incredible work, then I want you to make a commitment in your heart to let him continue to write a better story through you and through me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you have changed all our stories. Father, that in your story, we can find the strength we need. We can find the forgiveness. We can find the love. We can be absolutely transformed no matter how ugly our story has been up until this point. And Father, even for those of us whose story hasn't been terrible, but there's been a lot of good, we pray that you could do eternally significant work through our story. Father, for those of us who have never committed our life to you, I just want to lead you through a prayer. Father, we acknowledge that your story is the one that is most important. We acknowledge that you are the hero, that you died for our sin to bring us to you. You've forgiven us. You love us as we are, not as we should be. And we confess that you are Lord of our life. And so, Lord, we're giving you control. We're giving you authority in our lives. And as you direct us, we will obey. And Father, we are putting our hope and our faith in your ability to change our story. And Father, for those of us who have experienced your goodness and love, would you help us to be people through which you can continue to write an amazing story that glorifies you and that represents in a worthy way what you did 2,000 years ago when you rose from the dead and conquered sin and death and evil. And we ask this in your great name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. Remember Love Week, we have special hashtags set up, and also share your pictures on Facebook and Instagram and tag us.
Yep. Thanks, church. We'll see you next week.